Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and this is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads, every third Tuesday from, I would say, every third Tuesday of the month, I should say,
right.
From 2 to 3, Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads, starring Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. Dr. Sharon, nice seeing you again.
Nice to see you, Dave.
This is great. It's like old times. Different platform.
Yeah, different
Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network.
Awesome.
This is great. And always great shows when you're on, of course. We should remind our news listeners of some of your credentials because I think it's been a little while. We have a whole brand new set of listeners. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I have a doctorate in psychology from University of Denver. I grew up in Phoenix, and I've also worked for the Veterans Administration for 8.5 years here in Phoenix, and I also worked for the Department of Defense in San Diego and Long Beach. And then I went into private practice in 2001, and I've been doing counseling for about 28 years, and I see children, adolescents, couples, and occasionally families.
And when you were in at the Department of Defense, I suspect if you're in San Diego and Long Beach, you must have seen sailors.
Yes.
Lots of sailors.
Right.
Because there's lots of sailors in San Diego and Long Beach.
Yes, exactly.
And San Diego's nice, isn't it?
I love living in San Diego. I've lived there twice. Yes.
Oh, twice? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And now Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like Phoenix?
Let's not say.
Oh, yeah.
It's 108 outside.
Yeah, 108 degrees later. Anyway, so that's great credentials. I think this is really awesome. And, of course, we'll give your contact information out later.
And we went to the same alma mater.
Northridge.
Cal State Northridge.
That's
yes,
right.
For my master's in counseling.
What year was that? Were we there the same year?
Oh, man, no. I finished there in 1983.
Oh, I finished there. Oh. Let me think. Oh, the 70s.
At least I remembered.
Yeah, it was in the 70s, darn it. Yes, it was in the 70s. You were just a baby.
Okay.
And I wasn't. Okay. Not a bad school, though.
I loved it. It's my favorite school.
I've
taken classes at UCLA, you know, Northridge, ASU, and Denver. And I liked Cal State Northridge.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely.
What was it, just the teachers, the professors?
The professors and the library. I loved the library.
Oh, yeah, good library.
Yeah, I used to study in there all the time. And
yeah, I remember. Remember the good days when they had protests. and sadly, when the earthquake happened,
I was already in San Diego when that happened. But, yeah, I did consider that at that point moving back to Phoenix because at least we don't have earthquakes.
Yeah, I totally agree. But San Diego is nice, I will say that.
Yeah, my favorite spot.
Yeah. What's your favorite restaurant? Anthony's?
Anthony's, yeah, that might be a good choice. There's Chart House, too.
Yeah, and George is by the sea.
Chart House, probably, because it reminds me of living in La Jolla when I was, like, 15, so.
Ever go to Little Italy?
I'm not sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. There's our food show for today. Anyway, we got a great show today. Definitely one of my favorite books you're going to talk about. It's called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Fantastic book.
It is.
And it's been out for a while, too. I remember doing some seminars for singles on this.
Yep.
But it is a must-read, I think.
Absolutely, for everybody in every relationship. I agree, totally.
Tremendous book. He's sold like 2.5 million copies already.
Mm-hmm.
And saved lots of marriages. And it's pretty easy, too. And we could go over this because I think it's very, very easy to implement. You know?
Absolutely.
And that's what I liked about it. So So let's ask the first question. What is the premise of this book, Dr. Sharon?
Well, the basic premise of this book is that we each feel loved in different ways. And unless you are loving your partner in the same way as their love language, they are not necessarily going to feel loved, and vice versa. So there is a test in the back of the book that allows you to determine what your love language is and what your partner's love language is. And couples can take the test and get on the road to healing their relationship and feeling loved. And it is even better if they're using the book in the context of therapy.
Is that what you do? So when couples come in, you'll do, you know, various therapeutic deals, and but then you integrate it and complement it with the book?
Yes.
And how?
That's why I'm successful. So successful.
Well,
90% of my couples stay together. And
wow, really?
Very high statistics, yeah, considering that most relationships have been in trouble for about 6 years before people come in.
That's a long time to wait, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Because there's a lot of probably resentment at that point, and that's probably challenging.
Yes,
to get them back together.
Yeah, the only ones that don't stay together are usually that I work with, where one person's already left.
Oh.
And they're physically, but you know they've actually already left, or you know they're not really in the therapy and involved in it. Very few of my couples have actually split up.
Do you ever do, like, wellness therapy, you know, before, like, preemptive medicine type
stuff? I would like to. I mean, with this whole, where the healthcare is going, I think we all need to get more involved in wellness and stop dealing with insurance companies, but that's a whole other show.
It really is. But I like that idea because you can catch something before it really gets big, right?
Exactly.
I think that's...
And the time to come into relationship counseling is when the problems are just starting, not when they're, you know, been going on for 6 years.
Very challenging at that point. So this book, that's the premise of it. Everyone should know your partner's love language. And it makes sense to me. I guess we can go through this, and then you can guess what my language is. I'll guess what your language is, and then we'll guess what Greg's language is. So talking about love languages, what is number one? Not number one in terms of priority, but what's one of the first ones out of five?
The first love language is words of affirmation. King Solomon wrote that the tongue has the power of life and death. And
so how would that? What would that mean?
Well, for example, saying to your partner, wow, you look sharp in that suit, or honey, you look great in that dress, or I really appreciate you doing the dishes tonight. Those are affirmations. Those are compliments, basically. You're complimenting your partner.
You know, Dale Carnegie wrote a great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Ever read that one?
No, actually, I didn't.
Great book, and it says... Sincere compliments, the key word is sincere, they go such a long way.
Right. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is good. And who doesn't like a compliment?
Oh, everybody does.
Yeah. It reinforces a bunch of things versus if you think of the opposite of that. What if someone says the opposite of that? It's not going to create a positive response from people if you go, oh, my God, you look horrible in that.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, it's logical, too. I mean, it's just pure.
Right. You're building up your partner. You're making them feel better about themselves, and they're going to turn around and love you more for it.
Wow. Seems so easy.
Totally changes the emotional climate in a marriage.
That's sort of good, actually. That makes a lot of sense. So, okay, the second love language.
Well, the second love language is quality time. And it means giving your partner your undivided attention for a specific period of time. It does not mean sitting on the couch and watching TV or a movie together. That may be fun, but it's not quality time.
So what's an example? What's some more examples of this one?
Well, you could be going to a restaurant together and talking, making eye contact, and... being sure that you're not paying attention to your phone or the computer, you're not texting, you're not answering business calls during your date night. It really means everybody else can wait in your what's important. That's quality time. And it could also mean you have a common interest and maybe you want to go to a cooking class together.
Oh.
You know, so that could
or
be.
Or dancing.
Yeah, or dancing.
Surfing.
Or dancing together. swimming. I mean, whatever you enjoy doing together, it can be quality time, but it means that you are giving them your undivided attention.
And that is always a good thing to, you see, I guess you see couples all the time where they seem to be strangers in the night. They just mechanically answer questions, not emotionally answer questions.
Right.
And if, how do people feel when one partner's not paying attention to the other partner? I mean, that's not a good feeling.
No, they feel insignificant and unimportant. And
that's not good.
No.
Now, is there one particular, before we go to the other love languages, is there one, is the male or the female, is there one particular love language that's more suited to one sex or the other?
You know, I'd say overall probably not, but it seems like I run into more men in the couples that I've counseled that tend to like touch.
Oh.
I haven't gotten to that one yet.
Yeah, not yet, but
physical touch. Yeah.
Those men.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with them? Okay. So the next love language, and we will get to touch. I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions on that one. The third one. So we've gone words of affirmation, quality time, and now the third one is?
Is gifts. And
wow, gifts, diamonds, a woman's best friend, is that
what
we're talking?
It doesn't have to be diamonds. I mean, it, you know, that may be down the road. But
roses?
Roses. Let's start out with cards and flowers.
Okay.
Some people feel loved by receiving gifts, a gift, something that you can hold in your hand and say, my partner, he was thinking about me. You know, it doesn't have to cost money. It can be homemade, but it's still a symbol of appreciation. It can be cards, flowers. It's some kind of a visual symbol of love.
Wow. So something. So that's just how some people feel loved.
Right.
Doesn't. It's not good, not bad. It's just that's their language.
That's their language. And so be sure if your partner's primary or secondary love language is gifts, that you buy them a gift for their birthday, for Valentine's Day, and for your anniversary. You better not forget that or you'll be in big trouble.
Who usually forgets first? The man or the woman?
Men usually forget
first. Oh, really?
In my experience.
Oh,
yes.
Man. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Men have a lot of work to do. Okay. So gifts, that's the number three on the love language chart. Mm-hmm. Let's go to number four.
Okay. So the fourth love language is acts of service. And an act of service could be anything from washing the car to doing the dishes for your wife or doing the laundry. I mean, anything that is going to make your spouse's life easier.
Wow.
And people whose primary love language is acts of service will feel loved when you do those things for them. It makes their life easier, it frees up their time.
So acts of service, so that, yeah, that could be anything, like even someone saying, hey, can I get, someone's working, can I get you a little cup of tea?
There you go.
I mean, very simple, right?
It's thoughtfulness.
Yeah, so I think that's really good. And probably when people do these languages, I would suspect just don't do it mechanically. Only try to feel that you're doing something for the other person, don't you think?
Exactly.
And if you don't do it that way, what happens? People will sense it?
Well, I don't know. I think spontaneous things are really great, you know, especially for cards and flowers and things like that. But washing your car and doing those kinds of things can also be spontaneous.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Or going to the store. There's so many different things you can do. All right, so far we've had words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
We've had quality time. We've had gifts. We've had acts of service. We're going to have a quiz on this, Greg. Okay, then the fifth one is, what is the fifth one?
Well, the fifth love language is touch. Touch is the love language that crosses all cultural boundaries. Numerous research projects in child development have shown that babies who are held and hugged and kissed develop much healthier emotional development than those who are left for long periods of time without physical contact. Most people need some physical contact. the Hebrews in Palestine, recognizing Jesus as a great teacher, brought their little children to him to have him touch them.
Hmm.
Wise parents in any culture are touching parents. So holding hands, kissing, touching, massage, and sex are all important ways of communicating love to a spouse. That is why experienced therapists may even ask on the first therapy session, how long has it been since you two have had sex? This may seem like an intrusive question on the first therapy session, but it is really the best question to ask to find out how damaged a relationship is.
Let's get into that.
Okay. I thought you'd want to.
So this is touch. What does that indicate to you? We'll use the sex question. I know Greg wants to know. So I'm kidding. He's laughing. Someone comes in and, in fact, it reminds me of a movie with Meryl Streep and Tommy Lee Jones. What was that movie? It was fairly recent. And they went to this therapist.
Sex therapist? Oh, I hated that movie.
You did? Steve Carell.
I saw that movie.
Remember?
It
you
was
saw
Steve
that?
Carell.
And you didn't like it. I thought it was sort of interesting.
No, I thought what I didn't like about it is the way that it portrayed therapists. And he was a, quote, sex therapist. And it was a funny movie and all of that.
Yeah.
But I thought people would be less likely to go to therapy because they would be expecting somebody like Steve Carell.
Oh.
And so people that needed help weren't going to get it because they didn't, want to have somebody that was that intrusive.
He was intrusive, wasn't he?
Extremely intrusive.
Is that how it usually is with a sex therapist?
Well, I don't know. I'm not a sex therapist. So.
Have you known sex therapists?
Well, I'm sure I have, but not well. So.
How about sex surrogates? I saw that on TV once. Ever hear of that?
I've heard of it. I don't
have you?
Know anybody who is one.
But. Yeah, they did an interview at UCLA. It was a form of therapy.
They do exist.
Sort of weird, though.
They do exist.
Is that legal?
I guess, but...
I think in Nevada.
But anyway, that...
Yeah, oh, that's all
about
different.
That movie, yeah.
So, I saw that, but it did remind me the question I had, because he did ask that. When's the last time he asked both Tommy Lee Jones and
mm-hmm.
Meryl Streep? And let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will get the answer to that question. We will have to call them. I think I know the answer, but also I'm interested in what does it mean if there's long periods of time in answering, well, not in answering, but the answer to that question, and we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Beerenbaum Baum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, and we are live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads, starring Dr. Sharon Van Lent. And Sharon, we have been talking about the great book, and I mean great book, the five love languages. And just to summarize them and review the ones we've talked about, the first one was words of affirmation. Mm-hmm. Very important. And even if it's not their love language, wouldn't hurt to do words of affirmation anyway, right?
That's right.
And that's important. Quality time. People like quality time. Not just rushing around, eating a sandwich, and on the run, on the go, saying, okay, mm-hmm. let's talk as they're running through the airport like O.J. Simpson used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Number three is receiving gifts. But it could be just simple gifts. In fact, would it defeat the purpose if you gave like a real expensive gift, or is simple gifts better?
You know, it totally depends on the person.
Yeah.
You know, if they have expensive taste, then, you know, they might like expensive gifts. But, you know, I don't know that it's required to everybody.
That's true. I like that answer. That makes a lot of sense because it does depend on this, on the person. Number four, acts of service. That could be just little things, taking the garbage out. Boy, I'd like that, actually. Washing the car, going grocery shopping, just little things work.
Little things that make your life easier.
Yeah, that's a good way to put
going
it.
Going down to Walmart and getting your, you know, watch battery fixed. Could be small,
yeah.
small little things.
Yeah,
like
that's sort of cool, and it means a lot. And number five on the hit list is touch.
That's a biggie.
That is. And we left the audience by saying, okay, we were talking about this the show. God, I can't remember the movie's name. I don't think we ever identified
it. Yeah, I don't remember the name of the movie either, but the one with Steve Carell and
Tommy Lee Jones
and Meryl Streep. And the couple was drifting apart.
Yeah.
And she was done. She was just done with Tommy Lee Jones. And so she researched it and found this marriage encounter therapist who was supposed to work miracles, and
wow.
went to visit him. And really, he wasn't, the problem I had with the movie was he really wasn't a traditional, like, psychologist. He was a sex therapist.
Oh.
More like a sex therapist. And
yes.
And it gave the public, I thought, a different view that would make people less likely to go to therapy. That was my problem with the movie.
Yeah. The movie's called Hope Springs.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you. Hope Springs. I was finding out this great information. Yeah, I thought it was okay, though. I mean, not profound, but tolerable.
Yeah.
Some parts were interesting. But so the question we left everyone off with
but
is...
But my therapy is not like that movie.
No, not like sex therapy.
No.
But you do ask the question, like they did, how long has it been since you had sex?
Right.
And what does that achieve? What's the purpose of asking that question? What does it mean? Depending on the answer, give us some scenarios.
Okay. Well, you know, if a couple's been married for 30 years, you know, they might be having sex, you know, every 3 months.
That often?
Wow.
Are they lucky? Okay, I'm kidding. Hope I am.
But anyway, it's a good gauge of the relationship. And, I mean, I don't always ask that question on the first session, but if I feel like, you know, they're pretty easily disclosing and they're comfortable, I will. And it gives the therapist, psychologist, a really good gauge of how far gone the relationship or the marriage is.
So let me ask you, it sounds like there's a relationship between how good the relationship is and the frequency of sex. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
So
if they haven't had sex for a year and a half, 2 years, you're in trouble.
Really? That's bad?
Mm-hmm.
I should have known you 19 years ago when I was married. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would have known I was in trouble. So I think, the question is, so there's always a direct relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think it's
a
yardstick. Because, I mean, if you're feeling good about each other, your love tank is full.
Yeah,
and you're doing things together. You're having quality time. You have common interests. You're going to the movies, and you're maybe getting your physical needs met. And you like each other. You're communicating, and you're having sex.
Wow. So
if things are good. Yeah, that's happening. If things are bad, and you're arguing, you're not getting along. You're not paying attention to each other.
You don't want to be near.
You're living on separate sides of the house.
Wow.
One's on the couch, and the other's in the bedroom. Not even sleeping in the same room. You know, people can live in the same house and be roommates and not even talk to each other.
Well, I got a great question. I think Greg will enjoy this too. What if you ask a woman, how long has it been? Because you asked this question and she goes, well, it's been like 6 months. And what if he says it was last night? What does that mean?
I've never had that happen, but...
it could be a problem.
Yeah, it means someone's not telling you the truth, or they have a really bad memory.
Or they have a third party.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. Okay. Anyway, just kidding on that one. But that's a good indicator. I didn't realize that. But so when do you get worried if they say more than a month or something?
Not a month,
Month is okay?
A month, 2 months, 3 months, okay. But, if it's been a year.
That's a long time.
Uh-huh.
On the anniversary, like Meryl Streep said with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
He did say that. I don't know. Anniversary. And if the guy forgets anniversary, that's a problem. Then you're going on the second year. So that's interesting. So touch, that's obviously part of touch. Let me ask you a few more questions then. How do you integrate this book with your therapy? Because obviously, I've read the book. I'm a big fan of this book. And of course, you love the book. So how do you do that? You give therapy, marriage, family therapy, and you integrate the book. How does that work, the process?
Well, I usually, interview the couple together and see them on the first session. And then at the end, I recommend that they, go buy the book and find out if they like to read or if they're not readers. But I kind of do it as a homework assignment. And then you find out the following week whether or not they did their homework.
Yeah.
and whether or not they bought the book. So if they didn't buy it, you bring it up again. You say, this will really help. You need the book. This is why you need the book. And so try to get them to get the book. And if they don't get the book, then I go ahead and just implement the book in the therapy, have them take the test in the back of the book to find out what their love languages are. And if, the wife needs acts of service and the husband needs touch, then we try to have him do two or three things that will help the wife around the house or things that she would like. Have her make the list of what would she like him to do.
That's a good idea.
And then she feels really appreciated. And then, he gets more touch and more likely to get sex. And then see if it worked the following week.
Wow.
Just keep building on the same idea. So even if they haven't read the book, try to implement the concept.
So that's a great idea. So it's really interactive. And now what happens if one person really is excited, the other one resists it? You may have seen that.
Yeah.
How do you do that? I mean, how do you get one person out of resistance and the other person so excited? It takes two to tango.
It absolutely does take two to tango and to have a relationship. And yet I get so many people coming in individually for help with their marriage.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What percentage would you say?
Well, I don't know. I probably have two or three of them right now in my practice.
Wow.
Where for one reason or another, the spouse won't come in because they think the husband has the problem.
Ah.
And they want to tell the therapist, not only does he have the problem, but you need to work on his childhood. So they come and tell me.
They already diagnosed it, right?
Yeah, tell me what to do. So I still try to see the spouse at least once so I know, but if they're that, brick wall-ish, I'll just keep working with the husband then.
Wow.
But, you can make differences. And, in fact, this particular case I'm thinking of, the wife said, I don't need to come in. He's already changing. Let's keep it the way it is. I'm like, okay.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a compliment to you.
It is. And usually I like both of them in there, but in this case, it's working to work with one. So I'll work with what I got.
Well, that's flexibility, mm-hmm. which is good. Don't you think everyone needs therapy? I have this opinion that it doesn't mean people are nutty at all.
No.
Not at all. I think it's just a healthy situation to increase awareness and look at things maybe you haven't seen before, different behaviors.
I think everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs a counselor, someone to talk to and listen and throw ideas off of and get some good feedback from.
No doubt about it. I think that is so valuable. And I think, why do people don't usually go to counseling? Is it because they fear that there's something wrong with him and it confirms that? Is that their belief that, I go to a counselor, so there must be something wrong with me? Is that why you see that?
Yeah.
Oh,
or they're afraid I'm going to give them medication, or they're afraid that they're, other people thought they were too crazy. I might put them in the hospital. Lots of people have fears about doctors that are not warranted, or, they don't want to take medication like some people we know. And
yes.
And, you just have to encourage them. And so after I have somebody come into therapy for the first time, they're often really anxious. Ask them, try to relax and be calm. I'll ask you some questions, and I'm not going to give you a shot. And, it's really not going to be that bad.
So you sort of soothe their soul a little bit.
Right. Just to...
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to be. Well, why don't we take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Dr. Sharon Van Lentz. This is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads. Great therapist Dr. Sharon is, and we're talking about the five love languages, how she integrates it into her practice, marriage and family, counseling, a whole bunch of different things, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Ridenour, Heinten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. We're live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads, starring Dr. Sharon Van Lent. We're talking about the five love languages and how you integrate it into your practice, which is very cool. Give us a couple examples of how things have turned around, because you know, people love to hear stories where, you know, success stories, I should call them. And so you got some examples where people come in and it looked like, oh my gosh, this is desperate, and boom, voila, magic happens.
Well, yeah, certainly I can think of, you know, a couple cases that were just really far gone, and where the wife had planned to file for divorce and had come in and actually worked with her for a while, and then her husband came in, and you know, 3-4 months later, you know, they're totally turned around.
That's fantastic. That's got to be rewarding for you to see that you've really made such a big difference in people's lives. And it could be not just theirs, but maybe they have kids, right?
Absolutely. And you know, it happens regularly, you know, in my practice. And then, but I hear other people that come in and say, well, we've already been to 4 therapists, you know, for marriage counseling, and it hasn't helped. And I told the husband, I said, well, I think that says more about the therapist than it does about your marriage.
Oh.
They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
And so if I can get, you know, even one of them in, but or both of them is even better, 90% of the time I can turn around a relationship unless, you know, one of them's actively having an affair and isn't going to stop it.
Do you have rules on that? If you know someone is having an affair, do you say you got to stop it as you continue? Or that's a touchy subject.
Well, I don't know what other therapists do, but when I see people, that's why I try to see them together, because I don't want to keep secrets. And I tell them up front that, you know, usually when you're in therapy, you have confidentiality, but in marital counseling, I'd like them to sign that they understand that there won't be secrets kept between the two of them.
Gotcha.
And then if I tell, you know, if they tell me something, that it can be told to their spouse. It doesn't mean that it will be, but
right.
It can be. Because I don't want to be put in a position of accidentally slipping
right.
and saying something, and then they're getting all upset about it.
Has that happened?
No.
Not much? Okay. No. So that's good. That would be a difficult situation.
Yeah, because I don't want to be put in the middle of sitting on an affair, for example.
Yeah.
You know.
That seems difficult.
I wouldn't be put in that position.
So that's interesting if you think about it. If a couple comes in, wants to have an affair, but they're there, it's like one foot in, one foot out. It's like they're not fully committed, right?
Correct. And that's, you know, something that you can't work with. And but, you know, I've had cases where, you know, one was, say, addicted to pornography, but worked through it and didn't have an affair, but was into the pornography, and they've worked through it and, you know, worked the marriage. And there's a lot that can be done with most cases. The case where you can't do anything is where one person's already left. They're coming to therapy, but they're just there pretending to go through the motions, and they're not really there.
That's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very, very tough.
Yeah.
And the other spouse, I'm sure, notices it, right?
Right. And so if I am not making any progress, and this one particular case that I'm thinking about, I have in mind, I was not making any progress, and I was like, you know, there's something wrong here because this shouldn't be happening.
Right.
And my feeling was that the wife really wasn't fully committed, and as it turns out, you know, they ended up at some point, and I can't remember if it was insurance benefits or what, they just decided they weren't making any progress. I agreed with them. They weren't making any progress, so we quit having them come in. And then she moved out soon afterwards, and then he came back just by himself.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
She was having an affair?
No, she was already gone, though.
Okay, gotcha.
Mentally gone in the whole counseling. She was just there physically. Had planned to leave anyway. And
so she already made her decision.
Right.
That's tough. If someone's made their decision, that's a tough one to get them to get back to an open mind, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting. So let's review this real quick. Words of affirmation is one of them. Quality time, we talked about this, gifts, and we talked about acts of service and touch. Now, time to guess. All right. I'll guess mine first. No, I know mine already.
You can tell us.
Yeah,
I'm not going to guess.
Okay, I'm going to tell you and see if you think that fits me, and I'll explain to the best I can why. All right, number one, or I'll start in reverse order.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's even more exciting, right? Okay, the last one might be surprising, but gifts. my last
you
language.
Hate gifts.
No. I'm not sure why, but maybe because people just give gifts sometimes out of obligation. It doesn't feel special. Is that possible?
Sure.
But if you give a gift unexpectedly, that's sort of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my last. So that's least.
Your lowest one?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't impact me that much. Wow. Is anyone surprised in this audience here? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. All right. Next. Guess what the night you want to. Okay. I'll just tell
I'm
you.
I'm not guessing.
Acts of service.
Okay. That one's low.
That's number four. That doesn't have a big impact. It is sort of nice. Someone gets you a cup of tea, but I don't know. For some reason, that doesn't resonate.
Okay.
And it has to resonate for it to have impact, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number three. Here we go. Quality time.
Okay.
So that might be because I'm sort of busy.
Sort of.
Quite busy, I would say. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. So quality time, although nice, good deep conversations are great, but it doesn't impact me a lot. Number two, now the first two impact me. I wonder what people will wonder I'm going to say next. It is touch, ladies and gentlemen.
Touch.
Mm-hmm. So that's always a nice situation, and Dr. Sharon's taking notes. Okay, I'm in for a massage later on. I can't wait is my answer in that one. And obviously, number one is words of affirmation.
Affirmation.
That seemed to resonate more. You know, if people are negative or whining or complaining, it pushes me the opposite way. But if people are positive and they go, I can, you know, yeah, we could find a way, we could do this, it seems to motivate me. Is that interesting?
That is.
I don't know what it all means, but hey, it doesn't matter. They're all good, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my language. Now, but let's re-summarize this book. The key to this book, though, right, Dr. Sharon,
mm-hmm.
is not to give your partner your style of love language.
No, you don't have to have the same style.
Yeah. And in fact, if you assume that your number one is their number one.
You're going to be wrong.
Yeah, you're starting with the bat. Yeah, so you got to find out how they feel loved.
They want.
And give that to them. And I like what you said earlier. You can even ask, what does that mean to you? How do you, you know, words of affirmation or any particular words? Right? Can't you ask stuff like that?
Absolutely.
I think that's a great communication tool.
And just getting back to the therapy portion, I'll have them practice affirmations right in the office. Okay?
Oh, you have them practice.
Absolutely, because how are they going to do it at home if they're not practiced?
So they'll just start practicing.
And I'll just say, okay, you know, face your chairs towards each other. Now, you know, give your wife a compliment.
Yeah.
Something that happened this past week or something you saw her wear or, you know, and then they practice it right there. Because if they don't practice it in your office, they're certainly not going to do it when they get home.
No, I think that's a great idea. Reinforces it. Now, so that's word of affirmations. Do you practice touch in your office?
I have not had them practice touch. I mean, maybe they'll give each other a hug at the end or
that's
something
not
like
bad.
That.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't have them practice gifts unless someone comes up with a gift.
Right.
Or acts of service. That'd
mm-hmm.
be tough.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to communicate. What I always like to know, like, you know, someone says gifts. You know, I like gifts. You know, it's always good to say, well, what specifically do you mean by that? And what specific gifts are you talking about? Because you can give, if someone says gifts and you give a gift that's not in their radar, that might be an issue, right?
Right. And one of my clients came up with this, which I thought was really a great observation, that a lot of times your love language is what you didn't get in your childhood.
Really?
It can be, and it seems to fit in a lot of cases. So if you didn't get quality time, like my love languages are split between quality time, gifts, and physical touch.
Those are your top three?
Yeah, but I always thought it was quality time. I sort of retook this test before the show because I thought you would ask me about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't taken it in a long time, but I've always thought I was a quality time gifts person, but physical touch is up there, so those three together.
Wow, so acts of service and words of affirmation, not as much.
Yeah, on the low side. But if you didn't get quality time in your childhood, you're more likely to, you know, your parent was really busy, or one or two parents were really busy all the time, and then you tend to be a quality time person, and you need that one-on-one.
And that's your number one right
mm-hmm.
now, quality time.
Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you, I'll pretend I'm asking you, I'm actually asking you, what does that specifically mean? When you say quality time, so we're just demonstrating for the listeners now how
right.
they can elicit what that means. What does that specifically mean to you? What are some examples of quality time?
Quality time, spending lunch with my partner, and he's not answering the phone, or working on the computer. We're talking while we're eating.
Oh, that's very good. I like that. It's like mm-hmm. at a dinner table, and some people have the no phone rule. You know, it's like you're just present,
yeah,
interacting, talking, eating dinner.
And you shouldn't answer
Rather
the
texting,
phone.
Right?
You shouldn't be answering the phone or texting while you're eating. You should be enjoying your food.
That makes sense,
and
doesn't
your partner,
it? Technology has issues these days because,
yeah.
especially the younger ones,
it's intruded upon our.
Yeah, you see
nice
people
life.
Constantly text during meals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I saw someone, a young couple, maybe 16 and 17, maybe they're 18 each or 18 and 19, and they were on a date. They stopped talking. I thought they were mad at each other, but they were texting each other. And I go, wait, they're sitting right next to each
that's
other.
Ridiculous.
I don't even get it. How does that even happen? And that's not healthy, is it?
No, that's not healthy. And you can always tell in a restaurant, they say the married couples from the ones who are dating. The dating ones are engaged and looking at each other and listening to each other.
Right.
The married couples are sitting there eating.
Not saying a word.
Not saying a word.
I noticed that. And, you know, I've noticed that for a long time now. This is not a new thing. I remember going to San Diego when I was much younger, in my 20s, and I always wondered, like, looking at people at restaurants and these married couples, and it's like, they're not saying a word. They're just eating. They're staring in the space. They don't even make eye contact. They don't even want to make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're reading a newspaper at breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and they're ignoring each other.
Right.
They need therapy, don't they?
Yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
I say we.
Quality time.
I got a great idea. We do a remote broadcast from various restaurants. Say, you married couples out there that are not talking,
and
come
we'll
out there.
My card out.
Yeah, we'll have little chairs there. We'll do some online therapy. I mean, on the air therapy.
Okay.
Maybe we can't do that, can we?
Is
that legal?
I don't know. I'll have to check into it.
That would be interesting,
for
right?
Show.
Wow, that would be very cool. So if you know your partner's. Love language,
mm-hmm.
there's no reason not to ask specifically about it, like
mm-hmm.
gifts or quality time,
mm-hmm.
like we just talked to you about. Maybe even touch. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, touch is one of your number one. What does that mean? They might say simple as holding hands, right?
It could be holding hands, getting a foot massage, getting
Ooh.
A neck rub.
I like feet massage. Do you do that? Do you like
neck,
that?
Yeah.
Yes, really?
That's one of my, yeah.
Wow.
Like foot massages and neck massages.
Does it relax you?
Yeah.
Oh. And so people can do that, but more importantly, that people can pick up this book. And as important, people can call you.
Absolutely.
How do they get in touch with you? We still have a few minutes left, but let's give out the number a few times here so people can call you.
Okay. My number is 602-334-3776. And my website is DR, that's for Dr. Sharon, SharonVonLentz.com.
Wow, so that's 602-334-3776. Call, and they won't regret it. There's so many couples out there, I believe, that are probably unhappy. A lot of people get divorced very quickly. I think the percentages are ridiculously high in Arizona, probably
mm-hmm.
60th percentile. And the ones that stay married, I think there's a lot of them that aren't even happy. They're doing it for, kids? Have you seen that
kids,
before?
Absolutely. They stay together for the kids. And if they're fighting in front of the kids, they're not doing them any favor. They're teaching them to get into a dysfunctional relationship.
Very sad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that, actually, and it's unfortunate. And I always said, I mean, this is probably a different show. We only have a few minutes left, but I always said that you got to make, I mean, it's probably illegal, but make it really hard to get married, that you got to really pass a test.
Yeah, like a covenant marriage.
Yeah, and make it really hard to get divorced, too.
Yeah, maybe
I
we could have a
her
show with an
yeah
attorney on
ooh
covenant marriages.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Well, it's very
that
tough.
Up before.
Yeah, did
it's
we talk
hard
about this on one of those
yeah
shows?
Yeah, on one of my other shows. And
yeah
talk about a covenant marriage, and that way that makes the people have to go to counseling first before they
yeah
get divorced.
And
that.
It, because it makes it really hard
mm-hmm
to get divorced. I think there's certain, there's only one or two automatic things. I mean, maybe if there's physical abuse or something, but
right.
But isn't it so easy? It's too easy to get divorced these days.
I agree, totally.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate, especially if people have kids. It's like, I mean, how often do people use kids as a pawn to get their way?
Yeah.
You've seen this before?
Absolutely, and then it
makes what
it terrible for the kid to get put in the middle between the two. They don't like going back and forth to each other's houses either. That's a problem.
Yeah. But if one parent, you know, uses someone as a pawn, and you've probably seen that before.
Oh, sure.
Which is, why do people do that?
To get back at their spouse.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And the poor little kid.
Stuck in the middle.
That should be illegal.
Should be.
I wonder if we could pass a law about
another
that
type of emotional abuse.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But I bet judges see that.
Huh. Don't count on it.
Oh, really?
Some of them do.
But the psychologists that they sign.
Yeah, some of them would see that.
Wow, that's just outrageous. I think you and I should go to the state capitol. So, wouldn't that be good to get a law going?
Yeah, I know somebody in the governor's office.
You do?
Yeah.
Janet Brewer?
No, I mean, she works for the governor.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think there's some good possibilities there. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to give out your phone number again, 602-334-3776, 602-334-3776. Talk to Dr. Sharon. And I just really love this book. And you said he wrote some other books, evidently. I haven't read the other books.
I haven't read the other ones.
But I'm sure they're good.
I'd like to check them out. And, yeah, for more information on the five love languages, please buy the book, The
yeah
Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman.
Yeah, and it's been out. I'm trying to think. It must be out at least 10 years.
Oh, yeah. It's 92.
Wow, that long?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it
1992,
was
and it was reprinted in 95 and 2004.
Wow, a brilliant book, by the way.
Absolutely.
So simple and workable without really much of, I don't think it takes much effort, and it can do wonders for your relationships. It actually works, I believe, with non-intimate relationships, too.
Sure.
And I think that's very, very critical that people understand this also with a boss, with coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand what resonates, you know, I'll just use the name, you know, the word resonates with others, and whether it's you know, words of affirmation or whatever, why not? Because it uplifts, it motivates, it inspires people. Why not do that? I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Sharon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
You're
thanks
welcome every third Tuesday of the month here on the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, BreakRadioShow.com. Dr. Sharon will be here talking about various topics, and of course the name of the show is Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads. You can hear a replay of this on BreakRadioShow.com, BreakRadioShow.com. Go to archives under Relationship Renewal, Negotiating the Crossroads. Listen to all Dr. Sharon's great advice. Have a great night. See you tomorrow, Breakthrough Sports, 2 to 4. Have a good night.